Hello and welcome into another episode of Lessons in Product Management. I'm your host, John Fontenot, and today I have a really special guest on. In the times that we're living in, with layoffs happening left and right, there's a lot of folks out there feeling like, what do I do now? And the gentleman that I have on today has been through this a couple times and has found his way both times. Fantastic individual, leaving him anonymous for the time being. But I will say that he is a director of product who's been through this at a couple different levels in his career. And I'll turn it over to him just to give a few brief words about maybe his background and what he's up to today.
Yeah, thanks, John. And appreciate talking to you. And I'm excited to maybe help people out going through layoffs. So a bit about me, I've got over 10 years in product management on the B2B side, mostly as an individual contributor, and then spent a couple of years as managing the team, and now in the most recent role that I found after being laid off back in January as a director of product. So yeah, so that's my background, and yeah, excited to share some tips and hopefully lighten some people's spirits, because I know it's difficult to go through a layoff. And yeah,
100%. I greatly appreciate you being here and reaching out with the desire to help out other people.
Yeah, for sure. It's my pleasure.
Cool. So maybe we could start kind of high level, like macro environment. What are you seeing out there? I guess like from when you did get laid off. Like what were some of the things you were hearing, and then being in the job market, what were some of the things that you saw and felt along the way?
Yeah, you know, it's a weird time to get laid off, because it's obviously, if you're in the tech space, it's happening to a lot of people. You're sort of not alone. So I think on the positive side of that, you know, sometimes when this has happened to me previously. And so having gone through it when it wasn't sort of this trend, it is a little harder to, you know, people have the perception like you're fired, which, you know, we could talk more about that, but it's sort of a gray area, right? Sometimes you're laid off because maybe you should have been fired. Sometimes you're laid off because it's just the nature of what's going on in the business market, right? So I think right now, employers understand that a lot of people are being laid off, and it probably, you know, is not their fault. So you're not getting that judgment. Now on the negative side, because a lot of people are being laid off, it's just a lot of competition. So the market has shifted, right? And this is not rocket science, but the market shifted drastically, where you've got, especially if you go, you know, I use LinkedIn a lot for my job search, but you'll see, you know, a couple hundred within applications on a easy apply within like a couple hours. And we could talk more about, you know, that strategy of what I saw, what was more successful of applying or not. But I think the one thing that I realized was, you know, I had previously gotten a job during sort of move to the company that laid me off during the pandemic. And I realized looking back that interview process was like very easy when I compared it to what I just went through. And so I think for people that maybe found their last job during the pandemic, one of the things that happened to me was I started, you know, this new job search, I started looking, and I felt like I was doing everything right. You know, I was getting people, recruiters reaching out, doing the first interview, getting past that first person to the hiring manager, you know, a couple like second, third step interviews of the interview process. And then I was getting rejected or ghosted. And I'm like, the heck is going on? Like, this feels exactly like the last job search. I'm doing everything right. I've got more experience now. Like, what's going on? So what I realized, and this wasn't my own realization, but it was with the help of I ended up hiring a career coach, which I'll mention his name a little later about how he helped me. But in talking to him, I realized, you know what? I think what's happened is, obviously there's more competition. Obviously the economy's in a little shakier spot. People are just being more cautious about, right, who they're hiring. So the standards, right, you having to reassure, you know, in 2021, if I switched companies every year, 2 years, companies might have not cared because there was limited people to begin with. And so they were not looking at that. But here in 2023, if you jumped around and now you've been laid off, companies are maybe a little more hesitant. So That was somewhat the case for me, not maybe not intentionally, because I wasn't planning to leave the current company I was at, but that was some of the perception I think that I didn't realize. So I, it, you know, in working with this coach, she helped me realize like how you answer that initial, you know, how you present yourself and your sort of like your pitch around what you're looking for has to address these things that maybe you think are going to be an objection. And so for me, one of the objections was, hey, I might have been at, you know, there's been a couple of companies where I've been at, you know, that's multiple years. And then there has been a couple where I've been maybe 1 or 2 years, some because, you know, better opportunity, better pay, you know, et cetera, different reasons. But I needed to address that versus having people sort of wonder, you know, why that would, or put their own ideas. Oh, this guy just is not, you know, he's not going to stick around. So why am I going to invest in him? Da, da, da. So I think that, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, the current market is people's criteria for hiring has sort of shifted, and they're a lot more conservative. They have more options. You know, you've got people with very impressive, you know, the big brand tech companies on their resume. So you're competing with those people as well. So I would say the adjustment is realizing you got to get a little those finer details around interviewing your resume, everything has to be sort of at a higher level. And then you know, you have to find a way to sort of stand out, right? And you have to almost curate your I didn't curate my resume as much, which I know some people recommend, but your interview, you know, once you do have that opportunity, how you talk about your experience in reference to that role, I started to see a big difference in, you know, how I was progressing and people's general reactions. So yeah, I think realizing that, you know, that people that haven't been laid off before, like I sort of mentioned at the beginning, realizing like, hey, if you know that you were doing a decent job, you're doing a good job, and this has happened to you, and now you're here getting rejected and not getting responses, like you have to sort of take a step back and not, it's this whole thing around, you know, not associating a job with your self-worth, right? So it's a difficult thing to do, and I think the first time it happened, I definitely dealt with that. But having been through that, and this time, it just wasn't, you know, I almost felt like, you know, this happened for a reason. You know, I believe in God, so I thought God has put me through this for a reason, and I'm gonna deal with it as best as I can, and the outcome will be a good one. And I think that's, you know, the attitude that people should approach it with. How easy is that to do every single day? You know, some days are harder than others. You get real, you know, you're excited about something, you get rejected, or things don't go well, you screw up an interview or something. So you know, it's an up and down sort of thing, but there's a way that you could approach it that I think is helpful, which is why you know, I felt like this would be a valuable conversation to have.
Absolutely. You mentioned something earlier about standing out, and
Yeah.
I bet that struck a chord with the listener, and I want to double back to that. What
Yeah.
are, like, tactically and practically, what are some of the things that you felt helped you stand out, and maybe more generally, like, what are some of the things that you would recommend or
Yeah.
suggest?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, there might be one advantage that I have that maybe other people don't have. So I do have, like I said, over 10 years of experience in product. So obviously that sort of helps me. But I would say even regardless, let's say you're earlier in your career, I've used LinkedIn now, probably half of the roles that I've gotten in the past 10 years have been through LinkedIn. So I would say optimizing your sounds ridiculous, maybe to some degree, but optimizing your profile title, right? So I use something where it's not necessarily just the company and the role I'm doing. It actually gives you know, what I specialize in. And you don't want to be too targeted at a conversation with someone who is, you know, someone who also was laid off recently, and he had like crypto product manager. I'm like, where you live, I'm not sure there's too many crypto companies. So I don't know if you want to make it fintech and mention crypto. So it's sort of that type of thinking. You know, what role are you trying to get? Where are you know, where do you see yourself? You sort of want to put that thought. And then what are the things that you do well, right? And then that'll pop out to recruiters, you know, when they're searching. Now, I think that people finding you because of the market we're in is obviously, you know, in 2021, 2020, I was getting tons of inbound recruiter leads. Now it's like maybe one or two a week, at least when I was put myself open to work. So I would say, you know, it's still worth optimizing, but you might not get as much through there. But you want to just test, give it a week, test your headline, see if you get some, what type of roles people reach out to you. Like I had a period where I was getting a lot of like hardware specific stuff and it was driven by my headline. So I was like, you know what? I know that stuff, but I don't necessarily want to position myself as only that. So I switched that up. But yeah, just optimizing your LinkedIn, making sure your profile is thorough, like as much as your resume is, and making your resume and your profile focus on, especially the more experience you have, on like, well, what results did you actually drive? You know, not just that you did the normal product manager behaviors, right? Everybody prioritizes a backlog and writes user stories. Like, what did you actually accomplish? What impact did you make? You know, how could, where it's like action oriented, right? And then highlighting things that relate to the roles you're applying for. And at the same time, you know, I almost judged it as like the more interesting I found the role in my search, then the more effort, right, I would put. Maybe I'd write a cover letter, and I maybe only did that. I would say maybe I applied to 300-400 jobs in the, let's say, 2 months that I was job searching. And maybe I wrote like 5 cover letters. So it wasn't many. Or I tried to message people directly, you know, messaging hiring managers. So this is like a sale. It's, I think that's maybe what I would tell product people specifically who are not necessarily salespeople. It's like a job search is a sale. And so I had a list. I also make like a list of on a Google sheet of every, mostly the opportunities where it's like active. Somebody either has reached out to me or I've reached out and they responded and I've had a first interview. And I sort of have those primary opportunities so that I make sure I'm following up. It just gives me a place to sort of track everything. And then to, you start making the judgment of, you know, which one you like, which one you're interested more in and all that. So treating it like a sale. And then the other part of that, where I think ties into that pretty well, is like in sales, right? The salesperson that goes out and talks to one person at a time gets rejected. That's a terrible way to sort of build momentum. So reaching out, apply. Now, I know people maybe would disagree with this, but LinkedIn makes it easy to apply to a lot of things. So I say use that to your advantage. Apply to as many things that you think, you know, especially if you're laid off in your position where you can't wait, go ahead and apply. Fill your, even if they're not perfect fits, you still need those interviews, right? That's also practice. And you never know, you talk to those companies and maybe they make a role for you, right? Like you, I'm not telling you to go and like mislead people on what you could do, but it's more like you just want more opportunities to talk to people. And there's still a company who maybe they're hiring for a product marketing manager, but, and you have some experience there, but then you end up being sent over to product because your experience just matches there. So, I say be very open to that. And the more you almost like, it's almost a process of building momentum, right? You don't want to, the worst thing that you could do is sit around and think about how, you know, what happened? Why did they choose me on the list of people that were laid off? You know, how is this happening to me? Like, am I going to lose my house? Like, now maybe you are all in those situations, right, financially. So do something, you know, maybe immediate that you could do, right? We talked, me and you were talking about people that we've met recently driving Uber and Lyft that have been laid off in tech. So maybe you have to do something like that. But yeah, sitting around and sort of moping over it, not a great strategy. So it's almost like you're just, this is a sale. You're the product. You should feel pretty, you know, I'd hope that people in product would feel pretty confident about, which sometimes is hard, but you should, you know, if you don't feel confident about your product experience, maybe you're in a down, you sort of feel like you're in a rut. I've had this feeling before. Reach out to those former, you know, coworkers, friends, people that you've worked with. And I did that. I reached out to some former coworkers and people that were, you know, executives at previous roles where I could, number one, get a reference, and number two, get a little boost me, right? Because I knew they liked me at the time, and get it, you know, maybe they could help you even. So I reached out and said, hey, here's what's going on. And And they gave me a lot of encouragement. So I would say, you know, you've got to build your support system, right? You're not at a company anymore. That company's moved on, and you've got to move on too. But just because they did that doesn't mean that your experience is worthless or you're not a great employee. So I would say do that. And then the last thing I did, you know, I mentioned the coach. If anybody wants to look him up on LinkedIn, his name is Alexander Gold, G-O-U-L-D. So he reached out to me like through a cold email, I think, and offered, you know, he said he was a career coach. He offered me like 30 minutes to review my resume. So I thought, hey, there's no risk. And I talked to him. And in talking to him, I just realized that this guy knew the recruiting process. So I was getting plenty of interviews at that time, but I'm like, I'm not closing these. So maybe this guy could sort of help me bridge that gap. And obviously, you know, you're in between jobs. There's sort of a time factor financially. So that was my approach with him. And that was a big boost. And he was also someone who was like completely on your side. It's like a part of crucial support part, right? Where he's giving you real feedback. He wants, obviously you have to pay him, but it's legitimate. Like you're getting real support. So this is not to say this is just a complete advertising for him, but it actually was really helpful. It helped me refine how to talk about myself, how to talk about my experience. And it was a good, you know, it's hard to have sort of complete self-awareness of yourself. So it's good to get that outsider feedback, somebody who can be honest to you. Sometimes, you know, you have an interview and then they go completely silent. Your mind starts imagining, you know, why did this happen? Who knows? It's just hard to, you know, to know exactly. So having somebody to bounce off, you know, how something went and what you said and what they said to get and that has been through this experience is actually a really, really helpful thing to have. And that could be a friend, doesn't have to be a coach. It could be a friend. It could be a former coworker. But having that person is a big, big deal.
Yeah. And I wanted to validate something you said earlier, some of the advice you gave about reaching out to former people you've worked with. I know you reached out to me and there were recruiters that emailed me looking for, asking me for interviews. I'm like, hey, I'm good where I'm at, but you should really talk to this guy. Like this guy's solid.
I appreciate that.
And so like it happens, like if you're listening and you've made a good impression on people you've worked with and you know that these people respect the work that you do, reach out. People are more than willing to help. So don't feel like you have to go it alone, just to double down on that.
100% agree with you. And I think, you know, people are very busy today. I think, you know, one of the reasons I reached out to you to do the podcast is like I do, and I'm doing it anonymously, is because I just purely do want to help people. So if somebody reaches out to you, John, you could, you know, send them my way. If they really, you know, I'm happy to have a conversation and help somebody. You know, I think people are so busy that maybe you have to be the one to reach out, right? Like they could even know that you've been laid off, but ask for the help. Like you're in a situation. I know sometimes people are, you know, especially maybe product managers, very self-reliant type and all that. But this is not an easy, you know, you shouldn't be having to go through this completely alone. Like, and people, when they realize like, hey, you're struggling, maybe you're doubting yourself, they want to help, right? People have, they care. Maybe it takes a little bit of work in today's day and age because people are so busy and maybe, but I've definitely had people like yourself and others who offer support. And so to me, that's a big part of it. Having been through it, obviously, before also was an advantage to some extent because I didn't have, I just approached it, like didn't dwell on it and just jumped right into it. And I sort of had to anyway from a personal standpoint. So, but I think that attitude, you know, and if you do have a bad day, like I said earlier, just go to bed, you know, go for a walk, do something extracurricular that you enjoy, you know, family, friends, and call that day a, you know, a mulligan for the day, go back the next day and try to attack it in the morning. So nobody's perfect. So
totally. I want to dive into that aspect of like the psychology of it, right? Because I know you mentioned you applied to like 300 or 400 places. And I know you made a comment before about, taking as many interviews as you can, if nothing else for just practice. And I kind of glued those things together. And I feel like that could be one example of how to stay positive in the process of treating these things like opportunities, even if you don't land something you're excited about. But could you expand more on that of like how do you stay positive in this process?
I think the other part too is it is a lot of like psychological things, right? You'd also don't want to, once you start getting, because you're going to get rejections. Like, I don't, maybe maybe you get really lucky, or maybe you're that good that first opportunity, you nail the first interview, you go the second, you're like incredible if you could do that. But if not, I think most people's experience will be they're going to get rejected. So what you don't want to do is as soon as those rejections start happening, now you start doubting yourself. You start thinking like, maybe I'm not good enough. Why are, maybe I'm just bad, I have bad luck. Like, I don't know. I'll bring up the faith thing again, but I really think that the things that we are brought to do is what, you try, you do your best and you play a role in that, but at the end of the day, certain things are out of your control. So I think giving, that's like a relief, right? I think if, I remember before I thought that way and I was laid off, it was a lot harder of an experience. It was like crushing to get a rejection. It was like, you go through all these, this negative self-talk of like, maybe I'm not meant to do this. And I think, and then luckily I have a lot more experience. So that maybe is not as convincing when I hear that in my own head, but it's good to know, like, to just keep a positive attitude and to keep each opportunity as a fresh thing. Like, there's no way that somebody, a group of random interviewers are kind of like planning against you, right? Like the guy, ex-recruiter at Facebook is not talking to the guy at, I don't know, Lendy, right? It's just not happening. So creating some narrative that like you're, it's just people are out to get you and it's all like some problem that the world has against you is really not great. And maybe that's an extreme, but I think it, you have to almost get yourself psyched up for it, where you have those conversations and you sort of test out, you pitch yourself. You're like, because you should be able to say something that you're proud of, how you approach things and what you genuinely think you could do for that company, right? And I think that's what's going to make you stand out. I think sometimes I've noticed people in job searches where, they just sort of, and I maybe I'm kind of, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, so we could dig into that, but where they're like, oh, I'll just take anything, any product manager role, any industry, I just need a job. And so then they enter the job interview like that. And then the people realize, like, well, this guy doesn't really, he's not really interested in my job. He just wants a job. He's just sort of like fishing and seeing what sticks. And like, you don't want to do this. So I'm telling you, cast a wide net. And then when you, the hook is in, you reel the fish in, like focused. You don't just like lay back and see what happens. Like, no, you actually try to catch that fish. So in this scenario, it'd be like, if I interview, I apply to a bunch of places and I get responses. Well, now I say, okay, what industry are they in? Do I have experience in that? Is it interesting to me? How could I convey some of those things in this conversation? Because that's going to be like the difference, right? If you don't have like a big brand on your resume, you're just got, but you have good experience. Those are the case. That's the way that you're going to stand out, where this person, right? Because what are they judging you by? They're judging you like, can I trust this person? Are they competent? Right. There's sort of like minimum criteria. And then the higher criteria is like, is this person gonna actually solve it? Have they done this before? Are they capable of doing it? And then it's like, then there's like this interpersonal thing, which how interested are they in the job and the company? Would they fit in the culture? There's sort of all these questions that are layered into an interview that you, in a first interview, you could make people feel really good about almost all of those, you're like sitting good because now you've got that person is bought into you, right? And they're going to talk to the prior manager. And if you can do the same thing, then you're sort of like, you're creating a narrative within that company around who you are. So you want it to be different, right? You don't want to just come in and be like, oh yeah, well I did, I do PM and I know how to do the job. And like in this market today, that's not going to, I don't think it's going to cut. It's going to be very difficult for you to stand up. So
I agree. I was giving similar advice to an aspiring PM earlier this week where he was practicing his intro and answering some questions to some basic interview questions. And That was one of the things that came up was, people don't necessarily care why you want to be a product manager. They want to know why you want that job that they have open, right? And you have to speak to that of, yes, you want to be a product manager, but why do you want my job at my company? It's important.
Exactly. And I think, if you're too in your own head, if you're too in your own story about woe is me and how is this happening, then you're never going to get into that area because you're too interested in your own problems. The reality is, maybe this is a harsh reality, but those companies don't really care. Like, they're just trying to solve, maybe they care on a human level, but at the end of the day, they're only going to hire you if you solve the problem, if they feel confident that you're going to be a good fit, you're going to solve the problem, you're going to add value to their company. So yeah, and you might screw one up. Like I said, it's okay to have a bad day. It's probably good to have a bad one, so you sort of get that over with. Really blow one, which I've definitely done in the past. I'd have probably give a whole another podcast about interviews I've blown. It just helps to have that mentality of like each of these is a fresh as at bat, and really genuinely look at the company and say, what can I offer? How could I? And I had some when once I talked to that career coach, one of the interesting things that happened was I noticed that I just did a better job at trying to relate my experience to this role, even though like I had one interview with like a, I think they're out of Boston. It's like a catering company. I think it's like Easy Cater. Super interesting. I never heard of them before. So I interviewed for like a platform role, senior platform manager or something. Like I've never managed a platform, but I'm like, I think I could do this. But I use some of my sort of integration type partnerships type experience, which I don't have a ton of. And I made a narrative like where it like that was my experience. And it I didn't move on in the resume, the interview process, but I felt like I gave my best foot forward in that opportunity, right? And maybe, different time, different situation, I might move forward, but in this market, I maybe didn't have enough of the experience. But my point is you almost want that practice of like trying to fit yourself into what the job requirement is. Especially when you get to have a face-to-face conversation with somebody, or Zoom to whatever, video conversation at first. You just want to make sure you put that you position yourself like that. So it takes practice. I think it's hard to do as a, like yourself sometimes because it's hard to, I have a lot of experience. So it's my challenge is like talking too much about things that aren't relevant. So you almost want to talk about more recent things. What's relevant? What did you do? So he, what the coach was actually, Alexander was actually really good at helping me clarify that, which is like, if you're going to talk about a job, first talk about the company. Like it sounds very obvious, but it's like give the you're it's like you're presenting at a product, like a you're presenting a feature you want to deliver, whatever, an issue. It's like, what did the company bring you in? What did they do? Why did they hire you? What were they looking for? What did you accomplish? And then what's the thing within what you accomplished that ties into this job you're so that now you're telling a story like, hey, I've done this before in a slightly different way, but here's that experience, and here's the results I achieved. And doing, presenting yourself that way, it was really in some of those conversations after. Because he has to do sort of like practices or whatever, interview, like practicing the questions. And then doing those interviews sort of after those sessions, just noticing the difference in the response. In my mind, I'm thinking like, I'm the same person. It's the same experience, but just a little refinement on how I presented myself made a huge difference in how the person received received the information. So like all of this is not foreign to product managers, but I think it's because you're selling yourself that it becomes a little muddied and hard to, it's a very personal thing to see. So you need some outsider, I think, or it's helpful to have an outsider sort of help you refine that. So
Yeah, it's interesting because as you're explaining this, like the things firing in my product brain was like jobs to be done, right? And it's what job are they hiring you to do, and why are you the thing? Why are you the product that they select to do the job that they're hiring for? And I think to your point, if you shift your thinking to like a jobs be done mindset, like I think you get to those conclusions that you were just describing.
To some degree, even though I said like it's a sale, there's without a doubt, like we were talking before we started recording, like where was it, Charisse? I keep mispronouncing his name, who's on Twitter and LinkedIn as like a product thought leader. But he said something interesting, which is like when you're first trying to get that product job, the fact that you can accomplish getting the job sort of proves that you can be a product manager because you're sort of reverse engineering, right? There's not a clear path, and how do you figure that out? So it's very similar to product where you're like, you've got a product, how do you make it successful? How do you figure it out? So yeah, there's definitely sort of product skills that if you apply them, right, you sort of maybe remove the emotional, personal aspect to it, and you look at it purely from the company's point of view. That could be really helpful. Like, finding out, somebody might have a job posting, but you discovering, asking enough questions in those interviews to find out what's actually the real problem that that these people are solving for. Because I don't know if you've had this happen, but I've gone through interviews where people end up changing what they're hiring for or why, what they're looking for. And it's, I think what happens is in the process of interviewing people, the people that they interview with actually help uncover that. So if you could help them uncover that, then you present that you are the person to help solve that. You are doing a job through them. Yeah, you're the product solving that problem.
Exactly. One of my favorite questions to ask in the interview process when they ask for questions is like, what is the biggest challenge you're trying to overcome right now? Because I think that helps open the door for helping them uncover that thing.
Being taking their trying to take their point of view, right? As hard as it is, right? Obviously, you've got something very personal going on. You've lost income. You're in a dire situation, maybe. But at the end of the day, that person is concerned with what they're dealing with. So, but yeah, the other thing I would say is, my experience has been I've turned the times where I've been laid off, I've turned them into raises and promotions, and I did it in this market, and not I'm not trying to. John knows me. I'm not, well, at least I don't think I'm constantly tooting my own horn, but I am sort of, I feel great that I was able to turn a negative into a positive, and I think it's possible. And I think I had coworkers that were also laid off, and being the person that's sort of encouraging them, like there's ways that you could change the whole thing, right? There's ways that you could take this thing happening to you and you could sort of let it happen to you, or you could like spin the narrative on it and use it as sort of fuel. Like to some extent in my career, I was almost going through sort of a lull and like not feeling as challenged. And now looking back, a couple of weeks out of switch of the new role, it's like that actually threw some fuel into the fire. And it was like, okay, sometimes, at least in my life, these changes happen all at once. Like I, and that, and being able to adjust to that and just move with the punches, sort of adapt is like, I had a friend who, when I told him I was laid off, he's like, oh, you've been through much worse. He was like, not even worried. I'm like, well, I'm glad you're not concerned. But it was good to hear that, which is true. It's like, yeah, you, especially if there's a lot of things that happen in life that are, if you put in the scheme of things, are a lot worse than, losing a job, right? Having family members who are sick or people pass away. Like really, things that matter are way more important than your job. But this is important, but it's good to put those things in perspective and then put yourself, don't put yourself at a disadvantage, right? Don't, like, because you're only hurting yourself by approaching it the wrong way.
Yeah, I like how we're ending on a positive note here. And one of the things that I'll go back to, and then I'll give you the final word is like we're of a similar faith, right? And I think we both believe something you mentioned earlier, where in those interviews where you're getting rejected, like changing the mindset from what's wrong with me, it's more it, like I found it helpful when I'm able to take a step back and think this way of they actually did me a favor because. If they would have hired me and I wasn't a fit for the company, I would have been miserable and I would have wanted to leave right away, or they would have let me go pretty soon. And so, like, they just helped me figure out that I don't fit there, which helps me like helps make my decision easier for the company that I'm a better fit for when I do get that offer.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, on the, if there's a positive to the companies having maybe a bit of a higher standard, it's like, I feel like looking back now, the previous job that I had, maybe it wasn't a great fit. Like maybe they didn't, they weren't critical enough and it happened too easily, right? It's like, you know, going into a marriage maybe without knowing the person. Like, so the fact that both, that the market has changed, obviously it makes it harder to find the job, but you could look at it a different way. Once you find it and you do, you find something that you're interested in, it's probably going to be a better fit in today's market, because that's the way, you know, companies are being more critical of what they're hiring, and, you know, you're going to have looked through a lot more opportunities, and hopefully you find one that feels like the better long-term fit. So, you know, we were talking before we started here, but it feels like with the job that I just got, that's the case. So I would tell people, you know, keep it positive, get that support group, treat it like a sale. Use, like you said, treat it like it's a product, you're the product in the sale, and approach it that way. Be excited about your, you know, what the next step is. And, you know, bad day comes, you just write it off, hit the pillow, wake up the next day and attack it like that. But like I said, if somebody wants to reach out, you know, through you, John, just let me know. I'm happy to help people as well.
100%. Very thankful for all the help you've been to me in my career. And I know for anyone who takes you up on that offer, I'll definitely pass them over to you.
Sweet. Thanks, John. You've been a big help and inspiration to me as well. So appreciate you having this conversation with me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on, man. It's always a pleasure to connect, and thanks for being willing to come share with the group.
So, yeah, no problem.